Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is there anything you can do sort of tactically?
Yeah, that's a hard one, I think. Just physics, they know where they're going, they got a yard to go, and they get a head start because they know the count. And so there's no way really to get the heads up on them in terms of when we can attack them or getting a jump start on them. So that's probably why that play is so successful.
50-minute mark on the Fans brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Yes, that is something you have to deal with when you go play the Eagles, the tush push. They tried to outlaw it because it was so successful. The competition committee headed by one Mike Tomlin said no. Just because something works all the time should means we should outlaw it.
If you could get a guaranteed 3 yards with the tush push every play, a team could do that. Would you?
That's how I would close out every game.
Well, no. What if they just, if they were guaranteed to get it every single play of the game and they could do it, you'd win a Super Bowl. You'd never be stopped. You'd win 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Would you enjoy watching that?
No, I would not. I think I would the first year.
The novelty of a team just 3 yards at a time going down the field, every drive, a uniform. How many plays to go 70 yards and three?
But if every Sunday I was just spent watching a team tush push it, no, that would not.
At some point, Hurts is going to get hurt doing that, I would think.
Well, maybe that's why Doran said bring Kenny in and Kenny will score a touchdown. Maybe
for storyline purposes, by the way, Kenny having to play meaningful snaps in a close game is orders of magnitude more interesting than anything else that could happen.
The whole idea that it is an unstoppable play and there's really nothing the Steelers can do about it because they know when they're going to drive forward.
Mm-hmm.
If it's that basic and it's that easy, then why can't every team do it? It should not just be in the Eagles' repertoire. It should be available and it should be almost 100% for every team.
I think it's about having
an advantage because you know when you're going to push forward.
No, I think it's unique. I think Hurts is actually the thing that makes it go, and that's going to tick off O-line stands out there, people who love line play.
Because previously they said Kelsey was the one who made it go, and now he's not there anymore, and it's not like their center now is an all-pro player.
I think
he's just a guy.
I think it's Hurts for a very specific reason. What is he, about 6'1", 230?
He has a little battering ram in him, Malzi.
But he's low to the ground. Like, I don't even think Josh Allen could get away with it as easily. He's too tall. Hurts is built like a bigger but like proportion the same way as Russell Wilson, and the dude squats like 600. He and Saquon could have like a quad off on that team.
Oh, I was getting called out for my squat form today.
What were you doing, rounding your back?
That has been a complaint in the past by my was letting my...
Are you going past parallel?
What do you mean by that?
Like, so okay, I'll go down, you know, you're... going all the way down.
Yep.
And your butt is dropping below the level of your legs. Your legs are going slightly past parallel to the ground.
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
I don't always do
it. How much weight's on the bar?
It's in kilograms, so I'd have to convert it.
Working out on the metric system?
I'm not doing 600 pounds, I can tell you that much. The bar isn't bending.
Now, are you using what is colloquially known as the squat condom?
No, not today.
You're just going raw?
Just raw back squats.
See, I respect that, dude. You putting chalk on the hands or anything?
No, it's not a matter of like getting a grip or anything like that. It's just my feet sometimes come off the ground. And that's not good.
You got to drive through your heels. I'm sure your trainer is telling you that. You want to squat back,
big push,
drop into your heels, and drive through your heels up.
The Steelers would still be in first place with a loss on Sunday, regardless of what the Ravens do in New York against the Giants, and they will beat the Giants. It's all about the game on next Saturday against Baltimore. That's why I would say this is a house money game. This is a win it, great, lose it, no sweat game. Because I don't even feel like it's a bragging rights game.
See, you know what it truly actually is? You're going to hate me for saying this. It is the rare example of a true just get out of it healthy as you can game.
For two teams with double digit wins. Yes. Think about that. Like, is anybody saying that about Bills and Lions on Sunday? No.
Because the Lions are getting hunted down by
the Eagles.
Actually, no, the Eagles do have some stakes, because if the Lions lose, then suddenly the Eagles have a crack at it.
Yeah, but we're not looking at it from the Eagles' perspective.
Oh, no, but you said for both teams it's a get-out-healthy game, and I do agree with that, but the Eagles have more at
stake. No, you said it was a get-out-healthy game.
Oh, I thought you said for both teams after I said that, to suggest that the Eagles, you said for two double-digit win teams.
No, they're right. I didn't phrase that properly. I mean, I should have. I meant to say, in a matchup of two teams with that many wins.
For the Steelers, it's a get-out healthy
game.
It's
crazy that you would say that about the Steelers, but it makes sense.
Yeah, I would agree.
It actually is kind of crazy, like a Fox kind of thinking here. I don't feel like Tomlin tries to gin it up as some state championship game. It's not like beating the Eagles, we now are able to lord over Eagles fans for the next four years.
No, you don't
years.
Even you don't think about it. Like, the most memorable Eagles Steelers, like Steelers win over the Eagles in recent memory, or even in this century for me, is just the one where they beat the TO team.
In
and
04.
that was because it was preceded by them beating the Patriots finally and handling that team, and the fact that they were beaten two undefeated teams.
Maybe there are people going to the game who would say this, and they don't want to have to drive on the turnpike, pay an arm and a leg for tolls, tailgate the game. It's not great weather. It's okay December football weather, but it's not like you're sitting out in 75-degree weather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that are actually like spending a lot of money and taking a lot of time for this game, those people don't want to go watch a blowout. They don't want to go out and watch a bad game. And I'm not saying I want to see that either.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am saying is, if they do lose, and it does look like a lot of these Steelers-Eagles games in Philadelphia, I'm just not going to be that mad about it. I'm going to be like, all right, flush that down the toilet. Don't even like look at your crap after you go. Just immediately hit flush.
Now, do you typically make it a habit of peeking to see how things look?
I think every human being does that.
Yeah, I was trying to shame you, but everybody does it.
Immediately flush it, and on to Baltimore in 6 days. There's going to be very little. I mean, we'll talk about the game on Monday because that's what we do.
But it's going to be more about its Ravens week and its division title on the line.
I have a hard time believing that this is a game that is going to get people all worked up and screaming and yelling at each other.
It'll get them worked up in a good way if the Steelers, minus their best offensive skill guy and two important defensive players. I think if they go out there and win, people will be extraordinarily
fired
up.
That is why I said it's a house money game, because it only goes one way.
I know, but you were making it seem like it wasn't even going to like register almost no matter what.
I was talking about it from a negative standpoint. Like, there isn't the morning show always runs these promos for Monday morning shows. It's the morning after or the morning after. It's like, hey, it's the morning after a great game, or we're mourning a loss. Mm-hmm. There's going to be no mourning this loss if they lose. The only way it would be
if somebody
gets hurt, or somebody calls in and says, guys, I went to the game and their fans are such a-holes, and it was such a bad experience, and I'm never, ever, ever going to do it again. I made that mistake, and I won't do it again. I get those kind of fans who are making that trek feeling that way. But if you're just watching the game on your couch or you're going out with your buddies to watch it at a bar, if they lose, I'm just going to be like, all right,
let me ask
beat the Ravens on Saturday and all is right in the world again.
Let me ask you this. If the game is out of hand, like at halftime, it's 24-3 Eagles.
Yep.
And they're getting the kick. Would you consider actually switching and watching something else as your primary?
No, hell no, because it's a Steelers game. I thought you were going to say, what would I do? Like, how would I handle the rest of the game if I'm Tomlin? I would give the offense, the starting guys, one more series, then I would probably get them out of the game and rest them for Baltimore.
I think that's, if you're getting smoked like that, I think that's pretty
good. Cavalli's over here saying, don't play George Pickens until the playoffs.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
He's already taken the long-range view of things.
I don't think home field advantage is as important as it's made out to be, but if you have a Bengals game that would somehow be for home field in the first round or not, like I would risk George Pickens for that. I would want to play at home. I would want to win that game. And then suddenly there would be the idea that sitting him for that one extra week would make these notoriously dodgy hamstring injuries like infallible. It would be definitely better if they just sit him. I don't know if I buy that.
412-928-9370. We're just a couple minutes away from Open Phone Friday. Let's get a head start taking your calls on Steelers Eagles. And the first guy up is Sean in the north side. Hello, Sean.
Hey, guys. Hey, Chris. I am an alum of your same high school. Played with many of your same coaches on the basketball world as well.
Oh, nice. Those coaches usually were driven crazy by me when I played.
I'm much older, though. I'm much older. Dave, who's your coach was my assistant coach. I had Mr. Graham. But anyway, I digress. So one thing I think you guys are failing to miss here is there's still a shot for a number one seed.
Yes, but everything has a cost-benefit attached to it, Sean.
Okay, so like this week, we win. I think I heard one of you guys say earlier that Cleveland may upset KC.
Yes.
We're in the hunt.
You need also Detroit to beat Buffalo to really feel like you're
which
in the
possible.
Hunt.
Which is possible. I mean, Detroit's favored.
They should.
Very likely.
I wouldn't say it's very likely. That's probably the best game of the week.
So let's say that. Okay, so
you're basically saying you got to treat this
so
like a serious business game.
Throw it away. The second point I want to make is...
Well, wait a minute. Yeah, you can throw it away if you get the sense early in the game that you're not going to win. You've got two games after this in a very short amount of time. If it were regular scheduling and you had a week to prepare for every game, I would be inclined to agree with you. But Tomlin all but admitted on McAfee's show that this is effed, that this is a FUBAR situation, that the NFL basically screwed them with this schedule. And he also said he has to manage it and make some decisions about it. So part of making decisions, I think, is living to fight another day, Sean.
You know, okay, tough schedule, you know, cry me a river, whatever. I'm not suggesting that this isn't, you know, a potential. They could lose. But what I'm saying
could
is...
Could lose. They've never... They've lost 10 straight there, Sean. Could. It's likely that they lose. They're a big underdog.
Okay, look. 30 years ago doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with today.
All right, so let's talk about today. You don't have DeShone Elliott. You don't have George Pickens. You don't have one of your best run defenders. And they've won nine in a row.
We have some badasses on defense.
They have one of the best offensive lines in football and the league's leading rusher.
Let me ask, okay, well, what happened to King Henry?
He's still really good, but Barkley's on pace, I think, to break the single-season rushing record.
He is. But,
King Henry was averaging like 5.5 a carry, and then they just didn't give him the ball for some reason in the fourth quarter of a close game.
I gotcha. The dude is bad. He's fantastic, no doubt. However, I feel like we had a real good shot to stop him. And when you stop him, and I think I heard a caller say it earlier, you stuff that run game. Okay, let's see what they can do with the pass game. Be careful what you wish for,
because the last time Jalen Hurts decided he wanted to throw the ball in the Steelers, A.J. Brown was basically taunting guys as he caught his third touchdown.
He did catch three touchdowns, yeah.
Okay, there seems to be some challenges between those two guys, but whatever, let's put that aside for a second. This is like a Ravens game to me. It's the same thing.
If you think it's a Ravens game, then you should pick the Steelers to win. If you think they're playing the Ravens, the Steelers always beat the Ravens, and they beat the best dual threat quarterback in the NFL.
I feel it's very similar. I think we got a really good shot. I mean, it's an away game. It's a tough game. It's Philly. There's a lot of things stacked against them, but I don't throw this one away. And I don't think that, you know, we should feel like if we lose, big deal. We just got to go win the next. I feel like we should really want to win this game because we have a shot at number
one. Sean, I can promise you something right now between you and me. If they win, you can call in on Monday and you can say, hey, I told you so. They had a chance. They slayed the dragon. They went in and did something Chuck Nolan and Bill Cowher never did. They won in Philadelphia. I will give you as much time as you want to gloat about that. I'll be happy too because they beat a good team. However, I can promise you one thing. If they lose, you will not be pissed off and say they blew a golden opportunity. They're in trouble now. You won't say that. You'll say, hey, we'll move on to Baltimore. We beat them. We're going to win the division. Then all will be right in the world. This game will be forgotten, and no one will cry a river over it, to use your expression, if they lose the game. People just won't.
You know, I think it will be a blown opportunity, a significant blown opportunity, because I think we have a real good shot of beating KC, too. I really do. So,
okay. You can. Thank you, Sean. We gave you as much time as possible, and thank you for knowing Chris Muller's friends from North Catholic basketball.
He's my head coach.
Well, your head coach. Well, you would consider him a friend, right?
More often than not, I think there were times he probably wanted to throttle me for decisions I made on the court.
Really? A throttling?
Not like Homer and Bart Simpson.
How about Bob Knight?
No. I think he just, usually what happened was...
I think throttling was maybe too harsh of a term there then.
Then usually it was, Chris does something dumb, Chris is immediately stapled to the bench.
Jeff is in South Park, our number two fan. Hello, Jeff.
Oh my God, I'm live. I can't believe it. Okay.
Can't believe what?
It's been a while.
Yes, Jeff, we were out of the station for 4 days. I've gone over that today. It's very difficult to take calls when you're playing more road games than the 05 Steelers, so we apologize.
Agreed.
We haven't talked in a while.
You. Agreed. I'm not blaming you.
Who are you blaming? Should we take it up with management?
I'm blaming myself for not being able to get out to any of your remote things.
Oh.
I'm kind of kicking myself a little bit. I was off on Monday.
So you're taking your anger of yourself out on us, is what it sounds like, maybe a little.
No. It just, you know, sometimes your brain gets a little bit fried. You're on hold, and I hadn't been on in a while or whatever. But that's neither here nor there. How are you guys?
We're good. Do you expect the Steelers to go into Philly and win on Sunday, Jeff? Give us a path to victory, if you will.
So I'm not going to call for a win outright. I think they could lose in a heartbreaker. I absolutely disagree with you that it's going to be a bloodbath, because I just, for two reasons, you know, like this whole historical thing where we can't beat Philly, haven't beaten them since the Johnson administration. I mean, we play them so infrequently in Philly. It's really kind of hard to establish any sort of connected pattern. I do think in Ben's case that it did get in his head. And so, yeah, Ben, anytime he went there and he was already having a bad feeling about that. We don't have Ben anymore. I think Russ is a completely different animal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I mean, the other thing, though, is, too, they're, as of right now, they have momentum. It's not like they're coming in. I mean, they have a winning record, but you can't say that they're winning with, like, smoke and mirrors. Like,
are you talking about the Steelers having momentum or the team that's won 9 in a row that they're playing?
No, I'm talking about the Steelers. I'm talking about the Steelers and why I don't think that they would get blown out, because they do have momentum. They are playing well. You know, they're 6-1 since Russ took over, and they're not doing it with smoke and mirrors like the 2020 team did, where they went 11-0, and you're like, how the hell are they doing that? So, like, they have momentum, and I just don't see it being like a lamb being led to the slaughter.
Then you should pick them to win, because when they're in close games, they usually win. That's the Tomlin trademark.
I really think it could be close. And, I mean, you know, you were talking about the scenarios where people aren't going to be upset. I think if they do lose a close one, I mean, your emotions in the moment take over so much that it's like, man, you're going to feel like they really blew it if they lost a close one like that. But I disagree that it's going to be a bloodbath. I think Russ is going to play well. I actually think the injury that hurts the most is Ogunjobi. That one hurts. But
more than Pickens.
I don't think they're going to get blown up.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Ogunjobi, a bigger loss than Pickens, apparently. Interesting.
Maybe
All
Jeff
right.
thinks it's going to be a roll around in the mud game.
Open phone Friday. I like when we get pushback from our listeners. Chris and I don't always see eye to eye on things. One thing we've seemingly agreed on today is that Sunday will not be a fun afternoon for the Steelers. We are both picking them to lose, and lose by a rather large margin. I don't like no George Pickens. I don't like DeShone Elliott being out. and I don't like the Steelers' history in Philadelphia. How do you feel about this game? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. If you want to talk us into a Steelers upset win for the first time there since 1965, by all means, please do so. But it is Open Phone Friday, so that means you have carte blanche to call in on anything. 516, told you we'd be right back. Time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. Steelers and Eagles, let's see if the masses are fired up for this game. If they are still in an upbeat mood despite some downtrodden injury news. George Pickens, guys like Kabali saying might not return until the playoffs. Deshaun Elliott, who has been one of the most pleasant free agent surprises in Steelers history. He has been a rock back there at safety, coming down, making plays against the run, even being involved in some big takeaway plays. He is out for this game. And it would appear to me, if the Steelers are going to beat the Eagles, to be kind of an all-hands-on-deck game. Unfortunately, some of the hands, and I'm bringing up hands because it is Kenny Pickett's team that they're playing.
Well,
some of the
Kenny's
hands are
team.
Unavailable.
It's a team Kenny happens to be on at this point.
Yeah. But Doran's calling for a Kenny touchdown in this game.
I mean, I like bets like that. It reminds me of the old fantasy football leagues you hear about where a quarterback recording a tackle is worth 100 points. And if it
I've
happens,
never heard that before.
It wins your league. Yes, you have. I've told you about it.
Oh. Was I paying attention?
No. Standard operating procedure. Charlie liked that one.
I heard a Charlie chuckle as Mike wasn't even on any...
Chortle and Charlie on that one.
What was so humorous about that, Charles?
No, I just...
My droll, sarcastic tone.
Yeah, I like the banter.
Well, that's good. I mean, we're getting paid on that, so we better be doing
a good job
of it.
It's funny, Open Phone Friday is like one of the... It's free. We just open up the phone lines and say, call in on anything. And one of the things we see on the text line all the time is, why don't you guys take more calls? Why don't you let the fans talk? We're literally dedicating a segment to that right now. So it's if you want to get a takeoff or you want to bring up something about the game or you want to talk about anything, by all means, 412-928-9370. Let's start with one of my favorites. This man called for a big Steelers season before it started, and he's probably feeling pretty good about that prediction. I'm talking about one Anthony in Oakland. Hello, Anthony.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do remember that game in 65. Back then, though, not every Steeler game came on television, so I remember listening to it on the radio.
They won two games that year, Anthony. They were pathetic, and one of the wins was against Philly, who was equally bad.
Oh, there were, yeah. I think that was the Kent Nicks Dick Shiner group.
Shiner was not actually the quarterback that day. I think it was like Bill Leslie Nielsen or something like that. I'd have to have Mulsey go double check that.
Maybe. It might
yes.
have been Bill Nelson.
Bill Nelson.
Yeah.
Hey, Anthony, you didn't probably watch this guy play, but you were close to watching, being able to watch him play. Pony did not put Chuck Bednarik on an all-time Steagles team comprised of Steelers and, of course, Eagles. Did he err in not finding a spot for Chuck Bednarik?
I couldn't push Lambert Hammer Watt off the team, Anthony.
Well, he was a great player, Bednarik. I remember when they used to play at Franklin Field in Philly.
Yes,
I think
Joe Green once punted a ball into the stands there at Franklin Field, if I'm not mistaken. He was so enraged.
I mean, you had a Motley Crue before Chuck Knoll. I think Mike Nixon was one of the coaches.
And Knoll never won there, Anthony. He lost there in 79 with a team that had won, I think, 12 games in a row.
What I do remember about when they go venturing off to Philly is they. Some of the greatest teams in Steeler history went out there and got waxed.
Bingo. 79-08.
Including the Super Bowl 70 teams.
So what are you calling for on Sunday?
And then we're beating them. It was horrible.
Do you have a good feeling about it?
I do.
You do?
Because Russell Wilson's 6-0.
Yes, he is.
Against them. And Russell Wilson has just added something to this team that has been missing since 2017, really.
And that is?
That is veteran presence, able to audible, and he keeps his composure, something we haven't seen in a long while at the quarterback position around here, where they either do pirouettes or run backwards or doing all kind of nonsense. Couldn't hit a side of a barn, but he seems he's accurate.
Anthony, if the Eagles score 20 points in the game, who wins?
They won't.
But if they do, humor us.
A lot, but Pittsburgh will still win.
Okay.
Pittsburgh's going to score more than 20.
Oh, so you think they're going to do pretty well without George Pickens.
I do. Okay. I honestly, I watched last week against Carolina. They were not that good.
They were not. I agree with you on that. Thank you, Anthony. You can call back in on Monday and gloat about a Steelers win if that's what happens. And we're hoping that Russell Wilson...
He predicted 14-3, did he not?
He did. We're hoping Russell Wilson has a huge game. We're also hoping that Russell Wilson doesn't throw an interception. If that happens, then King of Philadelphia Sports Media, Howard Eskin, owes me $500, which will go to a great charitable cause. I think I will donate it to our For the Win charity drive to benefit the Greater Pittsburgh Women's Center and Shelter. So how about that, Mr. Eskin? Stuff that in your mink coat.
What color's the coat?
What color's a mink?
Isn't there more? Couldn't they dye it somehow? Or is it, I think they're white, right? He wears some very interesting suit and tie combos on the sideline.
Here is Ron in Pittsburgh. Hello, Ron.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good, Ron.
Hey, I was just thinking, you know, we've been waiting for, you know, Mike Evans to get involved. I know it's
Mike Williams. Evans is a future Hall of Famer on the Bucs.
But we get it. We know who you were talking about.
Yeah, I'm hooked on Fonz today. Bear with me. I apologize.
All good.
Same thing, like Scotty Miller, he made a heck of a catch, you know, down the sidelines at the end of the game last week.
I agree.
Feel like, you know, if Russell Williams gets that practice with him this week and Watt's been a little bit quiet, you know, not saying he hasn't been trying. I just feel like, you know, if the defense steps up a little bit and somehow or another, you know, they have a good practice and
How do you think the starting running back is going to do in the game?
I don't know. I think it's going to be – sometimes you feel like he's tripping over himself when he has an open field.
Who are we talking about?
Are you talking about Barkley or are you talking about our running back?
Yeah, our running back. What's his name again?
Well, I think Warren will do fine, but Najee Harris sometimes.
There it
I
is.
Feel like with Najee.
Thank you.
Well, I apologize.
All good. We got you. Thanks. Good stuff.
You seemed mad at me when I corrected Mike Evans. Then he immediately hit us with Russell Williams.
Yeah. Ron might be a little nervous, or he's scatterbrained and got a lot going on a Friday.
He had takes, though. He was ready to go.
He's a good man. He can call back whenever he wants.
Now, the concept of Open Phone Friday, Pony,
yes,
is to talk about whatever and whenever you know, people want. I see Alex on the line here is kind of calling in from left field.
He'll get his takeoff. Oh. Here's Patrick in Seven Springs. Hello, Patrick.
You know what would be better than beating the Eagles with our first strings is bruising their egos by putting in our third strings.
Thank you, Patrick. Here is Darren in Mudhall. Hello, Darren.
Hi. So I was wondering about Roman Wilson and why we haven't seen him a lot.
He's on injured reserve.
I know he's on injured reserve, but how long does it take for him to heal? And do you guys think that this can be a potential Super Bowl matchup coming up?
It wouldn't be my first pick for a Super Bowl matchup,
yes,
I think it's plausible that these teams could meet, yes.
Yes, I absolutely do. And I don't think Roman Wilson is going to get on the field for the Steelers this year.
The moving train very hard
to catch
up. Which
stinks, because I was excited about that draft pick. Alex is on the air. Hello, Alex.
Hey, I wanted to switch topics a little bit and present to you guys my idea to fix the horrendous baseball extra innings rule.
Okay.
This is the part where you tell us your idea. Sorry, you cut out the very start of that. Can you start from the beginning?
How are we fixing it? How are we making baseball good again?
We should start the 10th inning with the bases loaded. Why not?
How would that fix the current rule, which is the ghost runner on second?
It would end the game even faster, I would imagine, which is the whole point of the rule.
Not necessarily, because there's a top half of the inning and you can't have a walk-off with the team that bats first.
Fair enough. I guess I was.
Why don't we have a home run derby between each player's best home run hitter, and the first guy to not hit a home run is eliminated?
See, I like the creativity. Sounds good.
Thank you, Alex. Here is Glenn in Bethlehem. Hello, Glenn.
How are you guys?
We're good.
I live on the eastern side of Pennsylvania, just north of Philly. But the only reason I have a little hope is they went to Seattle last year, and I didn't think they were going to win in Seattle. I mean, it had been 40 years since they won there.
That's a good point. Historically, that's a good point.
They got out in front of Seattle, and I think that's the key to this game. You cannot fall behind, because they fall behind all the time to this team and just get their butts whooped. But even the game that Ben played, I was at that game.
Yeah.
Ben got the ball last, and he moved them a little bit, but then they just fell apart, and the Eagles just sacked them and killed them and basically ended the game. But I think if you can get in front of them, I think they have a shot.
The Eagles aren't playing
from behind.
Well, they played behind a lot because their first quarter offense is so bad. Just point of order here. Thank you, Glenn. That Seahawks team last year didn't even make the playoffs.
This is arguably the best team in the NFC if you want to like squint and say they're better than the Lions.
This team's 11-2.
They've won 9 in a row.
Coming up next, more of your calls, 412-928-9370. What do you have to say about Steelers-Eagles? We've had a rash of callers that are feeling good about this game. Would you put yourself in that club? Plus, our tail of the tape. We go position by position. We'll see who has the ultimate edge in Steelers-Eagles. But first, a Charlie headline.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. Ray Fittipaldo joins us Thursday, and here I am doing a read for it on a Friday. Brought to you by Super Lawyers of LGKG. LGKG, your home team. Injured in an accident? Visit LGKG.com. That music means it is time for the tail of the tape. We will go position by position and tell you as the edge in Steelers-Eagles on Sunday, taking into account players who won't play for both teams. Quarterback, I'm going Steelers. Yes. Jalen Hurts has put the kibosh on the turnovers. He has put an end to those, and his team has won 9 in a row. But he does not have the ability currently of beating you with his arm the way that Russell Wilson has during this hot stretch for the Steelers. And yes, Russ is not the threat with his legs that Hurts is, but the primary responsibility of a quarterback is to pass the ball. And Russ isn't turning the ball over either. So I would take, in a vacuum, Russell Wilson over Jalen Hurts currently. Malzi?
The primary responsibility of a quarterback is to put points on the board, and Jalen Hurts has accounted for 29 touchdowns this year between his arm and his legs. And despite the fact that A.J. Brown is extremely pissed off at his quarterback, and it seems very much like a personal beef, Jalen Hurts, since the Eagles started winning every game that they played, 9-game winning streak after a 2-2 start, has thrown one pick and has thrown, looks like 12 touchdowns. He has the narrow edge still, especially because of his legs over Wilson.
How about at running back? Do we even need to?
No.
Okay.
Move on.
We'll both go Eagles there. Wide receiver. Quickly say Eagles
yep.
with A.J. Brown and
yep.
Devontae Smith and no.
Yep. Yep.
George Pickens. How about tight end in this game, Chris?
I do think Freiermuth has a slight advantage over Goddard.
How about Grant Calcaterra?
Grant Calcaterra is solid. If you take the Dallas Goddard numbers and put them together with Calcaterra, you've got a Voltron tight end that's better than Freiermuth. But the Steelers have Darnell Washington.
Arthur Smith came out and said best run blocking tight end in
so
the league.
I'm gonna
which
give
is
the
what
Steelers,
I said about him when they drafted him.
I'm going to give the Steelers the nod because Freiermuth has more touchdown catches than those two combined. Washington's a big, tough blocker, and apparently Michael Pruitt's getting involved in the offense now.
Yeah, Pruitt's not going to break a tie for me, but I do think, what are you doing right now? How do I view you currently? Freiermuth is on the ascent. He's playing his best ball. He's more involved than he's ever been, really, in the Steelers' offense. You have to go back to Ben Roethlisberger and Pat's second year to find a season where he was kind of in the mix like he is now. Eagles have decent tight ends, not great. All right, O-line's got to be easy
Eagles.
Slam dunk Eagles.
One of the best in the business still.
All right, defensive line is where it gets, I think, pretty interesting. Jalen Carter has had a big second year, but I still think Cam Hayward is a superior player. But then you take into account that Larry Ogunjobi is out for this year, but I haven't acted like Ogunjobi is some big-time cog or piece that they can't replace. So I'm going to give the Steelers the narrow edge here on the defensive line, Chris.
Slight edge. They've been more disruptive. If Carter, I think, is the highest ceiling player of all the players are talking about, he could be the biggest game wrecker. And that's no disrespect to Cam. It's just Jalen Carter was probably the best player in his draft class as far as pro readiness. Jordan Davis has been a little disappointing, but he is a massive human being. I bet most of our listeners have no idea who their other... They play technically a 3-4, it gets listed as. Most of our listeners, I don't even think, could pick their other defensive lineman who starts out of a lineup.
Edge rusher, pass rusher, we're all going to say Steelers. That's not even worth debating. Inside linebacker, they've got Zach Bond having an all-pro season. Is that enough for you to say Eagles?
I think he's the best inside backer right this second on either team. He is playing like a madman. He has been very impressive.
So is that your pick?
Yeah, Eagles by a whisker. Not a huge gap. And by the way, their other inside backer, N'Kobe Dean, has some limitations because he is not a very big guy, but he is extremely fast.
Yeah, I'm gonna ultimately agree with you, but I do think it's
close.
By a nose,
I don't want to disrespect any
Wilson
of the Steelers
Roberts
backers.
And Queen is a pretty good triumvirate. All right, corner. I gotta go Eagles because of the year Quinyon Mitchell is having. The rookies basically turned into a shutdown guy already in year one. Dezine's played pretty well in the slot, and they still have Darius Slay there. Big play Slay.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that it's the Eagles there. I just think this is just a very well-constructed team.
Now we get to safety where Deshaun Elliott is out for the Steelers. Let me see if Reed Blankenship is playing for the Eagles on Sunday. Because if he's not, then that means two starting safeties are out for this game.
Hey, you have C.J. Gardner-Johnson out there chirping.
Oh, he's a huge talker and a huge pain in the ass.
Well, I think that was the big story before we found out Pickens wasn't going to play pretty early in the week was CJ GJ was going to go after
him. No, Blankenship came back from his concussion, so they have both of their starting safeties. Does that have you leaning Eagles?
Right now, yeah.
Okay.
I think if Elliott was healthy, I would probably say Steelers. Like that's still so that means it's still pretty close.
I'm going to go Eagles.
That's not a good sign, by the way, that with Minka back there as an $18 million man, we're saying, yeah, one other guy who's not Minka's out for the Steelers, so we got to give it to the other
special
team.
Teams clean sweep for Steelers.
Definitely
pick them
kicker.
Special teams every week.
Do you know right now?
Man is their punter who's had a good year. He had a cup of coffee with the Steelers.
You know what, though? Corliss Waitman, other than one
game last week.
Very unfortunately timed shank against Cleveland, has been rock solid all year.
All right, here's a tough one. Coaching.
I'm of two minds here. I think Tomlin's done a better job because I think he's one game worse with, I think, a slightly worse roster. Maybe a worse roster. They're still both good teams. Sirianni, I think, is a complete clown half the time. I'm going to give it to Mike and the Steelers. I think Sirianni, I know they've won 9 in a row, and he's managed to kind of right the ship, and he and Hurts seem to have patched up whatever weird issues they were having. But for a team that's 11-2 and one of the betting favorites to win the Super Bowl, do they not cut the profile to you of a powder keg ready to go off at any time? Like, they're really good, and I think they're going to win this game comfortably.
Yeah.
But there feels like something percolating there that could blow them up in midstream.
I wrote down Steelers originally. I crossed it out and wrote Eagles. I think Vic Fangio is...
Oh, for taking coaching broadly, not just head coach?
It's the coaching that the team,
I thought of it as head coach. Sorry. Then I'm going Eagles, because Fangio...
Is the best defensive coordinator in the... And I would say that, actually...
Vance Joseph?
No, the guy in Kansas City. Spagnuolo's the best. But then I would say Fangio second. It would just be I think Mike's had a very good year. I think he's had a great year. And yes, it looks like it's come close to going off the rails for Philadelphia several times. The dude was just in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. What am I talking about? Our coach hasn't won a playoff game since 16.
They collapsed last year in spectacular fashion,
and
though.
Tomlin's teams haven't collapsed?
No, they did. They have, but the Eagles' collapse last year was one for the books.
But the year before that, they were in the Super Bowl.
To win one game not knowing what your roster would be, who would you want, Sirianni or Tomlin?
Probably Mike. But does Sirianni get to take Fangio and Kellen Moore with him?
Nope. I'm picking head coaches.
Then I would probably say Mike. Thank you, Charlie. That was the tale of the tape. Let me see. For you, Chris, you had the Eagles better in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of 12.
And you?
I had the Steelers better in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So it was dead even. And here I am saying they're going to lose the game by 3 touchdowns. What the hell am I talking about?
Our buddy
about?
Hoagie is upset that no one's given the Steelers a chance. You're calling for a blowout. He doesn't understand it. Maybe you have to rethink this thing. You think this game has the potential for a pony 11th hour switch up like with that Bengals game?
I do not. Odell Beckham Jr. released in Miami. People are asking, should the Steelers be interested? Here's my take. If the Pickens injury is serious and your wide receivers look like crap, you'd be foolish not to bring him in for a workout. Desperate times call for desperate measures, in my opinion. I don't think OBJ
You're turning over every stone, but I think you're going to find out there's nothing left.
Yeah,
but
it
hurts you nothing to try.
I don't have high expectations, or I wouldn't have any expectation that it would work, but if Pickens is out for a considerable amount of time and you think Mike Williams is just a dude, I agree with what you said earlier about Calvin Austin. I think he's actually had a very underrated season. I'd at least look. If part of the appeal of Mike is, as a coach, he gets guys to buy in, could he talk Odell Beckham Jr. into just accepting a role of just being a complete role player?
Man. You would hope Odell has read the writing on the wall by now and kind of understands that about himself. But
he might
knows.
Be cooked. I mean, he might be absolutely awful at this point. He's had knee injuries.
Well, if Mike McDaniel couldn't find a use for him.
Yeah, but a lot of that was when, I mean, they had Tua out.
Yeah, I guess. And maybe they have a surplus.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, low of 18 tonight. Hodgepodge coming up. And then Austin Bechtold hosts from 6 to 10. A hot rumor that he's going to have a Pro Football Hall of Famer on his show tonight. So stay tuned for that.